Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
Good morning, good afternoon. Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. Ken Edwards with the NCL sitting to my left. Ed Maher. Hello, Ed.
Hey, Phil. Hey, Ken.
Hey, Phil.
I'm off to a good start.
Yeah. Do I look ugly?
No.
Well, Phil's ugly.
Oh. Hey.
Hey. Oh, sorry. And to my right is Phil Davidson, Mid-America Carpenters, Regional Council of Carpenters, right?
How you doing?
Mac RC. So Mac, we are RC. Recording today. So you're going to hear this on Sunday, but we're recording in front of a live audience at Cafe Bionda, fantastic restaurant. Thank you so much, Cafe Bionda, for letting us record here. Let's have a little round of applause for Cafe Bionda. All right, yeah. Woo. Thank you. We've got a bunch of good guests today, and it's going to be really, really fun. So let's start with this. You ready?
Lay it on us.
All right, here we go. I have a couple of fun facts that will annoy you. Overdraft fees, remember those?
Oh, I remember those. Yeah, I remember those.
You remember those?
At one point, there was a limit on them.
So they capped them at $5, and basically they got rid of them in the new budget. Those caps have gone away.
Okay.
And they're back. So overdraft fees are back.
Okay.
So thank you for that, administration.
So you're officially taking money from people who, by definition, have no money.
Yeah, it's like if you're overdrafting, you know, you're basically like, I need to buy some food today. I'm just going to overdraft a little bit, borrow against my next paycheck. Yeah, overdraft fees are back. So
During college,
What's that?
I kept TCF Bank in business.
Oh, I've kept Citibank in business my entire life. You know, no question about it. Anyway, so those are back, right?
So when your 401k crashes because you have no money right now, and you need to go take out money that you don't have, you have to pay more to take it out.
That's right. Yeah,
that all makes sense.
Yeah. So, and as I said last week, but I'm going to repeat the joke again. You know the Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Yes.
Nothing. Given our...
That's a Ken Edwards original.
That
everybody.
Is an original. Yeah. Thank you so much. All right. Here's another thing that will amuse slash annoy you, and that is Doge cuts the driverless watchdog, right? So you know the people that are like overseeing the driverless cars?
Yes.
To make sure it's safe?
Yes.
To make sure it's safe.
Yeah.
They don't exist anymore because Doge fired them. So, huh.
Yeah, they just get in the way.
So
we got that. And then last one, you know how Trump the other day said after he crashed the market, buy the dip, basically.
Yeah.
Right? Now's a good time to buy. It's not even insider trading. It's just like outsider trading, right? It's like he posted it on Truth Social. Now's a good time to buy.
Yeah.
Well, guess who bought? Marjorie Taylor Greene. She bought, right? And she bought $275,000 worth of stock. And here's my question. Where the hell does Marjorie Taylor Greene get $275,000 from?
That's a very good question.
How does she have money?
I don't know. Maybe she sponsors testosterone supplements? I don't know.
That's ridiculous. All right. So anyway, those are a couple of things that should amuse slash annoy you. And then here, I have a question, and the question is this. It's for all non-lawyers in the room. What does the word kakistocracy mean? And don't look it up, all right, with your phones. Kakistocracy.
Can I hear the origin of the word, please?
Kakistocracy. Huh?
Can you say it in a
origin
sentence?
Origin of the words. One is Greek, one is American.
Can you say it in a sentence, please?
This country is being run as a kakistocracy. What does it mean? Anybody? Nobody? All right, bunch of dummies. It means...
You know our audience.
We get some better lawyers in here.
Yeah. Even the lawyers don't know. It means government by the least... suitable or competent citizens.
Really?
That's what it means. It's an actual word for what we're going through right now. And I read like a little chart on how the word has been used over the last like 200 years. It's a really old word. And you haven't seen it used in about 100 years. And all of a sudden, if you Google it, it has spiked. It is the highest it has ever been. So that's kakistocracy.
Kazakhstanocracy?
Kazakhstan.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. And then... quick shout out, Johnny, right? Johnny's from Beverly Records. Everybody, Johnny, thank you so much,
for Johnny.
All right.
On the ones and twos.
Yes. You should go to 116th and Western Beverly Records. You see Johnny there. Johnny has a really in-depth knowledge of the most obscure B-sides in the entire world. I told him, like, just bring three records. Bring AC/DC, you know, whatever. Stairway to Heaven and what. Just play that. Instead, he brings, like, 45, like, you know, B-sides and what live versions of, you know, whatever.
We're playing none of the hits.
Johnny, I love your musical taste. Don't listen to this,
yeah,
man.
Let's heckle our free DJ.
Yes.
Yeah. It is free. Yeah. But thank you. And support local business. You know what I mean? And vinyl, by the way, right? People are buying vinyl. Yes, Johnny? What do you think?
Yeah. It's been a while, but vinyl's we're starting to see back. Customers again. Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. Good for you.
Very cool.
All right, listen. We'll take a quick break, and then we're going to come back. We're going to start our show with the great Alex Dunn. He is the head of ICOPS. He is a lawyer as well by trade. Super smart dude. So we'll be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premis Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. Ken, Ed, Phil, welcome. Alex Dunn. Alex, what's your title?
I am the president and an attorney for the Illinois Council of Police.
Affectionately known as ICOPS.
Yes.
Tell us about ICOPS.
So we were founded in 1994 by a retired Cook County Sheriff's police officer by the name of Norm Freeze. He was a Cook County Sheriff. You know, it's kind of common in the police labor movement that officers decided to start forming their own unions and kind of going out on our own, so yeah. We're a little bit fractured. But he ran it until 2020. There's a president from 2020-24, and then I took over. So I'm only the third president.
Wow. So you were an actual police officer, correct?
Yes.
And for displays?
Yes.
Okay. And you literally just retired?
Yeah. So I started my career in the village of Berkeley, which is in the west suburbs, kind of between Maywood and Elmhurst.
Uh-huh. Yes.
I did that for 2.5 years. I transferred over to Des Plaines, where I did another 10. You need 10 to be vested.
Gotcha.
So I was able to retire last month with 12.5 years.
And who does ICOPS represent? What's law enforcement?
So we represent about 82 different groups throughout the state of Illinois. So most of it is around the Chicagoland area. We have Highland Park. We have Deerfield. Down south, we have Orland Hills part-time officers, Evergreen Park, but we also do more than just police officers.
So, okay, explain that, because you're an interesting mix, right? You have officers that operate under the state law here in Illinois, but then you have folks that operate under the National Labor Relations Act, correct?
Yes. So, in Illinois, if you work for a community college or a state university, you're under ILRB, so the Illinois rules. But we represent police officers at Northwestern as well as police officers at the University of Chicago, the sergeants, and they're under NLRB rules. So we do both.
Interesting. Anything you find easier, same, or what?
Well, you know what's funny listening to your guys' show is you guys were a couple weeks ago complaining about how difficult the NLRB is.
Yeah.
But if you think that's difficult, you should deal with the ILRB because they're... You know, they're short-staffed, obviously,
and they
do what they can, but we actually find the NLRB easier to deal with just because it's more set out. It's easier to do your legal research under the NLRB versus the ILRB.
Yeah.
ILRB is a little bit more freewheeling, but NLRB we find is easier to deal with.
That's interesting. And so where we come from, we try to avoid the board like a plague. Both boards, by the way. I'm going to pivot here for a quick second. I saw a post that you made on LinkedIn that says everybody thinks interest arbitration, which means that you bring your contract to an arbitrator and he or she decides, you know, what you're going to get, winner take all on each issue,
right,
is the greatest thing in the world. And you took the opposite approach on that.
Yeah, I think, and that's one of the things that police officers and firefighters have in the state of Illinois that non-public safety employees do not have, which is guaranteed interest arbitration.
Because?
Because the Illinois Labor Relations Act says that they do.
And you can't strike.
Because you can't strike.
Right.
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 So that creates this thing because this tool is out here that we have to use it, right? That's the old, I forget the play, but where the gun is sitting on the mantle, and if it's there, it's got to be used by the end of the show.
Chekhov's gun.
Yes. So it's always out there, and it is a great tool that we have, and I wish that everybody had it, like police and fire do, but when you want a big raise, you're just not going to get that in arbitration.
There's no way. You're 110% correct.
And the numbers carry that out. There were 5 interest arbitrations in the state of Illinois last year.
That's it?
Yes, that are posted right now. They might be a little bit behind, but yeah. I don't think that number is going to change big.
Uh-huh.
We did one of them.
Okay.
And the average that you're seeing on raises is between 3 and 4%, something less than that.
That's it.
Right. So if you're trying to get a 5, 6, 7, and we've gotten some people 7-plus percent raises, you cannot get that in arbitration.
Right, because the arbitrator is not going to award it.
Correct.
Because he wants to get hired again.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, I get it. I'm going to be an arbitrator.
You would be.
Yeah.
Well, it's only like $1,500 a day, so since you don't have a contract here, you know.
You can't be a mediator, though.
Oh, hey, oh, thank you. All right, so check this out. A couple of the quick things that I want to get to with you. You guys were one of the first out of the gate to file a case involving the right to organize for supervisors pursuant to the Workers' Rights Amendment.
Yeah, so the right to organize for supervisors, especially in policing, it's different than in other groups. So for police, the statute says that if you spend 1 minute, 1 second a day doing anything that can be construed as supervisory,
right.
you cannot unionize. There's been legislative fixes that have been proposed. None of it's ever passed because the employers oppose it. And so when they passed the Workers' Rights Amendment, we saw that as an opportunity to be able to say, hey, they are employees. They work for you. They now have the right to organize as a constitutional right in the state of Illinois. So we have a couple of cases pending. I just did one for DuPage County Forest Preserve Sergeants.
Uh-huh.
Before the labor board, and we have one appeal pending in the 3rd District Appellate Court.
So they're moving their way up?
Yes.
Okay. And it would apply to sergeants, lieutenants, anyone above the rank of patrol?
So that's something that's going to have to be litigated is what makes someone an employee.
Mm-hmm.
The Illinois Labor Relations Act has a very narrow definition. There is no definition in the constitutional amendment. And so our argument is what the voters read is what they voted for. And that's what the voters voted for, that everybody could be in a union.
That's right.
The fear that we're hearing from the other side is, well, does that mean school principals? Does that mean police chiefs? My argument would be they work for you, yes.
It means yes, everybody.
Yes.
It doesn't say only non-supervisors have the right to collectively bargain in the state of Illinois. It just says all employees have the right to collectively bargain in the state of Illinois. Meaning if you are an employee under our Constitution, you have a right to collectively bargain.
I think all we're asking for is that the workers of Illinois be given what we were promised when they asked for our support
amendment,
right? The people of Illinois voted
for. So it's funny to me that, like, here's your union, and it's not very large, and you guys are taking the case, like, you guys are taking it and running with it.
Yeah, I think that a lot of groups, and I understand it, is you don't want to be on the losing side of it, because if we wind up losing, going to the Supreme Court and losing, our name's going to be attached to it. But we need an answer so that we know how to go forward and try to organize these groups in the future.
Well, new law has got to be tested, so somebody's got to test
it.
But here's the deal. Just don't lose.
Yeah.
I mean, all right, we're going to bring you. I'll be your lawyer for this, and you come and be my lawyer.
I mean, you think you're going to win, right?
Hey, Alex, you don't want me as your lawyer.
Guaranteed out.
Yeah, most of Local 150 learned that the hard way. All right, so check this out. So we got that, and I think that's interesting, and I would like, if you don't mind, just to keep us up to speed as that case goes along, because there are other police unions in the state of Illinois, right? You got the FOP, who are not NCL members. You guys just joined the NCL.
Yes.
We have MAP, which is our part of the NCL. And then you have, like, some Teamsters dabble in police, and I think some SEIU may dabble in police as well. How do they feel about you taking this case? Like, are they is everybody on the same page, or where are you at?
You know, we have gotten support from PBPA on this.
Yeah, they're part of the NCL as well. I should mention them.
SEIU, they do have some law enforcement groups, but we find ourselves on the opposite side of a lot of political issues.
Yeah.
So we don't really work too closely with them. And the police officers that I've talked to that are members of those groups don't feel too welcome, because usually those are big conglomerate groups. The city of Chicago is big on that, of just taking 1,000 job titles and putting them in one SEIU group.
Yeah.
So their interests aren't really always represented.
Yeah, that makes sense.
To get them out into their standalone.
Because they're a minority of the unit.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it could be 30 law enforcement officers in a group of 1,000.
Doesn't really give you much of a voice.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense to me. And then something else happened here in Illinois. When was this, the ability to decertify police officers?
With the Safety Act, that started in 2021.
So 2021, here we are in 2025. And how's it going so far? And explain what it is, by the way.
Okay, so decertification is like the way they want to look at it is any other professional license. If you are a hairdresser, a barber, a lawyer, there's some administrative process where they can take your ability to work in your chosen profession away from you.
Right.
And that's what came in with the Safety Act. It's not going well for the sake that they have no actual process to do it. So they passed this law that said, we're going to be able to decertify police officers. And in the 4 years now since they did that, there has been zero decertifications because they don't have any legal process to do it.
You're law enforcement, and you have a lieutenant, a sergeant, you have a chief, right? I mean, you have all these layers above you. You need the state reaching in and trying to... What do they do? They take your license, or they just go, you can't be a cop anymore?
Yeah, they will say that you cannot be a police officer anymore in the state of Illinois. Again, their concern is that there's going to be a controversial issue, and you're going to get all your due process through a merit board or through an internal investigation or arbitration of your termination and get your job back.
Right.
And they want to be able to, at the end, say, no, we're going to take that away from you.
Yeah.
And right. It's part of the Safety Act, and it's still part of this bill. What's actually scary is they can try you in this decertification process for having committed a crime when you were never charged with a crime. What? So if there's a police-involved shooting and you're completely justified, state's attorney investigates it, there's no charges,
yep.
The state training board can come back and say, we think you committed a crime, we think you committed aggravated battery, we're going to basically try you for it in this administrative process, and you're going to lose your livelihood.
I mean, that's just outrageous.
Yeah.
You know?
Someone tells me our president is really not going to be too fond of this.
Yeah, I mean, there's big first in this updated bill, they want to monitor your social media to be able to decertify you.
No.
Yes.
Really?
The bill that's pending right now, they want to be able to monitor your tattoos that you have.
Wow.
What groups that you're in. There's big due process and First Amendment questions about
this
bill.
Did you say tattoos?
Yeah. Yes. What the hell? They want you to be able to file an anonymous complaint about anything under the sun and just be able to decertify you without substantial due process or any due process. That's what they really want.
So you guys would obviously add value to being in the union by protecting members from something like that, correct?
Yes. We will represent officers. Again, it hasn't happened yet, but we will represent officers in decertification, and that's what makes organizing on the police side so important. It's not just wages and benefits. It's your ability to stay out of jail when somebody wants to charge you with a crime.
Yep.
Your ability to keep your certification, because that is going to be the push in this state, is to just go through. And there's about 300 pending right now. And so once they go through, this bill goes through and the administrative rules go through, they're going to be trying to fire hose all of those decertification hearings.
Holy
and
moly.
Get them all done.
Wow. It just seems to me that, at least here in Chicagoland and some of the major cities, there's this backlash against police, right, and fire, and right. It seems wrong-headed. We need more cops.
Yeah,
literally, like, we need more police officers.
I mean, you just
we need
saw
more fire engines. We need more firefighters, right? Like, we need more of these folks, not less.
And you're seeing in, I don't know if you guys saw the story out of Winnetka last week or the week before, but they've had to resort to private security to do their overnight patrols. It's Winnetka. So they're not even experiencing that direct backlash like the city of Chicago has, and they have, in theory, the money to pay the police officers, and even they can't hire people because it used to be, this is what we talk about. It used to be, look, if you screwed up, you'd get in trouble, you might lose your job.
Right.
Now it's, if you screw up, they're going to try to send you to prison. And that is something that no normal person signs up to do. I mean, we're all not normal because we signed up to do this job in the first place.
Right. Yeah.
Did I hear Winnetka can't afford police?
It's not that they can't afford it. They can't recruit. You cannot get people.
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Phil, I'm sending your resume.
Yeah. Please yeah. Yeah.
Welcome to Winnetka, Phil.
Radio star, just, future police officer.
Just look over my college
but
years.
But look, you know, Alex, you know, I saw New Mexico called the National Guard to supplement their police officers.
Yeah, they're
right?
going to
I thought it was
to.
Albuquerque. Sorry, Albuquerque. They called the National Guard to supplement their police officers, right? Because people can't, you know, they can't get them fast enough, right? And the city of Chicago, by the way, is losing them to the suburbs, which pay more, safer. Chicago and Illinois are losing officers to Florida,
right?
Because they're soliciting them and saying, come on down here, you know?
Right.
So it's like this never-ending, like, instead of demonizing cops and firefighters, you know, maybe we should take the opposite effect and say, you know, we value what they do for a living. They're there to protect us. Have more of them. Because when Brandon Johnson took over, and everybody knows I'm not a fan, he said, I'm going to solve the actual root of the problem, and I'm going to hire a bunch of social workers, and we're going to get to why there's crime and why there's violence. That hasn't worked out so well.
Yeah, right? And that That might be a great strategy, but that's a 30 years down the road strategy. 100%
correct.
We can't do that right now.
It's like a tariff strategy, right?
Yes,
it's not something
right.
that happens
have
overnight.
Game, yeah. Right. But the problem with those types of solutions is those people just want – we have some of that now, and they just wind up calling the police because at a certain point you can't yeah. social work someone who's intoxicated at 3 in the morning.
You can't social
knife.
Work right. them to put down the gun.
Correct.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you. All right, listen – Alex Dunn, head of ICOPS. I can't tell you how much we appreciate your coming down and spending some time here with us today. Thank you so much. Really appreciate your coming down. We'll be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premis Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. Ken, Ed, and Bob Ryder.
Hey, you know, Ken, while we were in that little interview...
He just gets right into it.
Yeah, you were just... Yeah, just how about Bob Ryder from the Chicago Federation of Labor? I'm sitting in for Phil. Phil had to split. Welcome, Bob. All right, now go ahead.
Our DJ here was playing Sweet Jane by Lou Reed. Did you hear that?
Yeah, not a fan.
Really?
Not
really?
A fan.
It's oh, wow. super interesting for all the listeners that weren't here.
Who cares?
Thanks for that, Bob.
It just validates that Ken has no taste in music.
Yeah, my taste is esoteric. Uh-huh. And that means, you know, kind of different, you know, like a little...
Just about everything about you.
Different. Hey, I want to just compliment several people right now on their attire. Ron Whittingham from Megan Financial decided to wear his good sweatshirt. I appreciate that.
It is a very good sweatshirt.
I mean, it's a hoodie.
Massimo, right?
Cosimo.
Yes. With a C.
Yes.
Cosimo wore his good t-shirt.
Well, he's working.
Okay.
Cosimo is the chef here at Cafe Bianca.
And Bob went with the pink today.
It's Easter time.
That's a good point.
So Cosimo, you're the chef here?
Yes, I am.
No, the food here, by the way,
fantastic.
Is absolutely off the charts. I was actually, you know, I'm from New York. I don't know if you know this. And I'm a snob about Italian food, like a real snob about it, because I don't think many Chicago Italian restaurants are particularly good, except this one. And I was telling my mom the other day, I'm like, yeah, we're doing this thing at Cafe Bianca, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, how's the food? I'm like, it's awesome. It's actually awesome.
It is. It is good.
Yeah. All right. So check this out. Ron Whittingham, you are a principal at Megan Financial.
Yes, sir.
And one of the owners of this restaurant, right?
Piece.
Yep. A piece of the owner?
Yep.
Okay. And so, first of all, thank you for letting us have this event here every year. We really, really appreciate it. Thanks for getting some beers and all the good food. And your staff is always really, really wonderful to us. But I want to talk to you about, obviously, what's going on in the markets and the current climate and what's happening around the country with, you know, sort of the, I wouldn't even say swings. It just seems like one big slide in the stock market. Like, tell me, like, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a crazy week and a half in the markets, right? So, obviously, Trump came out with these absurd tariff levels last Wednesday, which, I mean, they're so absurd, in my opinion, our opinion, that it had to be, in our opinion, a negotiating tactic in his, because it's not sustainable.
Even though he came out 45 times and said, this is not a negotiations, we're not negotiating, we're not negotiating, we're not negotiating.
Surprise! You mean he's not telling the truth?
Surprise!
Yeah, and then all of a sudden he pauses it for 90 days, and he's like, he's the master negotiator.
Well, hang on. He didn't pause all the tariffs. That's important.
Yeah, that's true.
The auto tariffs, I think, are still in place on Mexico and Canada.
Yes.
And then blanket tariffs, and then obviously there's
the China. Yeah.
But I think the thing to highlight is that tariffs can be a strategic tool to impact trade, to make sure that you not go into a complete isolationist, protectionist type of situation, but actually do things to impact certain industries instead of doing something completely unstrategic and then just launch in, actually make tariffs radioactive when they can be useful.
It certainly makes it feel radioactive because you've seen firsthand what it's done to people's retirement accounts,
right? Yeah, and that's real, right? I mean, you know, people living on this money, You know, but we tell our clients, if you don't need the money in the next 60 to 90 days, like
right.
all of it,
right.
it's going to bounce.
Yeah.
Okay, but let's keep going down that road, right?
Yep.
I'm in that same position. I have my 401k, and so, you know, same, right? I'm just letting it sit there. I'm watching it plummet. It literally lost 25% of its value.
Yeah, I mean that's a big number. You should probably talk to me. But...
what are you invested in, Ken?
What? A Tesla.
yeah.
I mean, I'm joking. Yeah. I would never.
I mean, our diversified portfolio, moderate, like 60 stocks, 40 safer, is, I mean, as of yesterday, it was down 3%. So not terrible.
Yeah.
Not great.
No, Ron, trust me. If there's a bad move to be made with my 401k, I make it. I'm like, wait a second. I can make $1 million if I just put all my money into... You know, whatever the
Ken
whatever.
Coin,
yeah, Ken Coin, Ed Coin.
But there are people that have a longer ramp that are in a more aggressive strategy.
Yeah, that's right.
because they have a longer period of time,
which
right?
is like what you, I thought I was.
Yeah, but I mean,
the heart surgery didn't disavow you of that 5 years ago.
What? I got everything. Everything's brand new. I could start all over again, Bob. Yeah. I'm living hard right now. It's all good.
He's part of his heart is actually bacon. So
no, it's cow.
Okay.
Thanks.
I think at any age you need to have some diversity. So I mean, you don't want to have all your money.
But let's look here. But okay, so forget like the nuances. If you're right now, you're living on that 401k, right? You're using it to pay your bills.
Yep.
What happens when you see it plummet? Because it's plummeted, no question about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely down, right?
Yeah.
So whatever you take out, you're going to take a loss.
Right.
However, you know, the markets are going to bounce. They always bounce.
Sure. But if the stock market tanked to the extent that it did, and what was the percentage that it went down, Ron?
It was down about 20%.
Okay.
And the S&P 500.
Where's it now? Is it
about 11? I don't know where it's at today. So.
Okay.
Right. Prior to today, about 11.
Yeah, because
which is a normal correction, by the way, which happened 1.5 times a year. It may not feel that way, but
is that right?
It's normal.
Well, I think the difference is that because the reaction to the tariffs, the correction happened a lot quicker.
Yeah, the velocity was insane, right?
But, so, and
if I never hear the word tariff again,
if
I never hear the word tariff again, I'd be good. But I've said the same thing. I mean, obviously we have thousands of clients. You just gotta stay the course here.
Yeah.
You know, so when Trump was in power in his prior regime, this tariff correction happened three different times.
Yeah.
And in his regime, the market, the S&P 500, returned 62% in those 4 years.
Yeah.
And that's sure. in 2020 that's a low, right? So COVID happened.
Yep.
So I mean, if COVID didn't happen, it would have been higher.
Sure.
I mean, again, in my job, I have to take politics out of it. We have to take a look at the numbers and the fundamentals of the economy. So I'm not saying anything politically at all.
Yeah.
But in Biden's 4 years, it was 48%.
Right.
But I think the analog to this isn't necessarily Trump won. I think it's closer to what happened at the end of George W. Bush's,
That was Obama in right after that. So Obama took that. Obama's term was 180% in those 8 years.
Wow!
But that was off.
I'm talking about the drop in so many other things around the economy, because that's when we saw policy like crater the housing market. It didn't have as big of an impact on. It had an impact on the stock market, but a lot of other things were you know, breaking on the dam. Towards the end of W's time, which when the housing bubble broke and things like that.
But here, all right, I've got
an example.
Okay,
here. Like I got a call after the first 2 days when the market crashed, and then everybody woke up and hoped that it would bounce, and it crashed again. My mom is 77 years old, and she called and she's like, "I have a call with my advisor today. What do you think I should do? Should I pull money out?" And I said, "No, because at some point it'll bounce up, and if you pull out at the low, you know." So
well,
In what situation does that kind of thing make sense?
Well, I mean, I don't think it ever does.
Yeah.
So I've been doing this job for 25 years, and I think get in, get out is a bad idea. And a great example of that is Wednesday. I mean, the market spiked over 9%. It was the eighth best day ever in the S&P 500.
The day after he said, now's a good time to buy?
Yeah he said, well, he told his buddies to buy, right? And then he tweeted out that he's going to pause the tariffs. And then the market spiked.
Is there a world in which he went like this to everybody, like, all right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tank the market. then you guys buy.
Well, that's,
and
then,
I mean, that the SEC would disagree with that.
So the thing that I, that, you know, and Ron, I think folks like you who have experience and who can advise people on their 401ks, and I still got to talk to you about a, or have one of my folks talk to you about stuff with our plan, but, or creating a plan, is that when you have, when you have such a chaotic actor in there, I think you have to take the actual longer term view. Because what I look at, the, what happened, you always are going to have market corrections. And, you know, the stock market has, market's been pushing off a recession for a very long time at this point, right? The market goes down in like a week, over 3,000 points. It gets up to just about 3,000 points. And then it drops another 1,000 points the next day, right? What I'm concerned about is how many corrections and how many dips, because we're still negative from where we were. Not a lot, right?
Right.
But we're still net negative from where we were a couple weeks ago.
No doubt about
and
it.
And the so
well,
what
I, it's a, I think it's a lot. It's 10% a lot. I mean, it's, I mean, it's, I mean, it's not not a lot. I the, mean, look, it affects our pensions, right? For all the building trades guys out there, our pension plan ends. What, one-fifth is March 31, and, you know, like,
yeah, they took a beating.
Tank. I'm not asking you to make a prediction or, quite frankly, even give financial advice, but from your perspective, like you said, it happened very, very quickly, right?
Yeah.
And kind of scattershot, and all of a sudden it was like tariffs, no tariffs, tariffs, no tariffs, now some tariffs, now 90-day pause, and there's such instability in not only the markets, but the country, right?
All no doubt about it.
Losing, I mean, losing their jobs, you know, losing their 401ks, or at least they're not making contributions to them anymore, right? It's hard to play the long game where you might have to actually borrow against your 401k because he just fired a million people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, what the market needs is clarity,
right?
And you know, Donald Trump is the definition of uncertainty.
Right.
And that's what the market doesn't like.
So here, then let me ask you this, because I've had this question. Where's Wall Street? Right? Where are the people that backed him, put him in office?
Lower Manhattan.
No, thank you.
they're probably not as good as friends.
Really good.
Right. They're probably not as good as friends right now, honestly.
Yeah.
But, you know,
but aren't
you,
they putting pressure on him and saying, hey, like, let's, like, calm down.
The pressure's very subtle.
Yeah.
Well, we all know that Trump's not going to lose, right?
Yeah, right.
So,
right.
I mean, you know, what I think the win is going to be is if he, you know, has some conversation with China, he tweets that out, the market will spike super high, and who knows what comes of that, but he'll claim the victory, and who knows what will come out of it.
Well, right.
That's what the market needs to have that risk off. I mean, companies that are, you know, forecasting earnings for the next 3, 6, 9, 12 months.
Right.
They can't forecast that because we don't know what we're they don't know what they're dealing with.
You're saying Trump doesn't lose in his own head.
Correct.
I think that's true.
In his mind, he's not going to.
In his mind,
he's not going to say that he lost. There's no way. It's, you know,
right. And I
it was always strategic, right?
Yeah.
That was always my plan, even though I said it wasn't.
Right.
So the thing that I feel, and what do I know?
What do you know?
Not much, but here's what I would put out there is the guy's got no guardrails around him like he did the first time he was deploying policy like this. So I just feel like the long-term strategy, ride the market out, it always will come up, and it's when you need it is what's important. For people who get to ride it out, they may have to ride it out longer because there are no guardrails around this guy, and he is a like unhinged narcissist, and Navarro's goofy, and you know.
Says Bob Ryder, the unhinged
narcissist. But what do I know? So what do I know?
Not much.
With a few minutes left in this, I think members of NCL unions are sitting here wondering what to do with their money. They're working Monday through Friday, and they might not understand the history of the market. They might not understand, you know, the way that the market's worked in the past. And I think that the takeaway here is if you don't have somebody kind of giving you some guidance here, you need that. And if you're a part of one of these unions, you have that through Megan Financial.
What's a phone number for you?
708-444-1090.
708-444-1090. Okay. And so you say you're an NCL member, you'll get First of all, you get free advice.
Free advice.
And second of all,
it's free 99.
Free 99. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you get a discount if you know, you guys manage the money. But you're right, Ed. It's like somebody needs, because look, the union leaders, myself, Bobby Ryder, everybody in this room, we can't actually give financial advice, right? We're not fiduciaries.
Yeah, we act as a fiduciary.
But you are,
yeah,
right?
Yes, sir.
And so we trust you. And, you know, you're in the labor space, right? So you're pro, you're not looking for the, you know, what do they call the whale? You know, the person that's got $10 billion and like, oh, I'm going to make $1 million off of that or whatever. You're going like person by person by person.
Yep.
You're sitting with working class people, sitting at their kitchen table, sitting at a bar, talking to them, right? I mean, that's all you do is...
That's all we do. We do. We have 6,500 clients. So,
is that right?
Yeah. It's a lot. But it's really bad when they call on the same day, let me tell you.
Oh, I can imagine.
and they have.
Yeah. How bad was your week?
Oh, man. It was not good.
That's funny because
I'm still wearing my Kevlar, by the way.
I gave out your cell phone number. Yeah. I'm like, hey, just call Ron. Yeah. He'll take care of it. So, all right. So, listen, you want to get some advice, some clarity, et cetera. I think that's a good place to start. It's called Megan Financial. You know, do your due diligence. Don't panic. Right. Don't just sell everything, like you said, and lock in your losses.
Can't do it.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
Right. Listen, I'd rather just let it sit there. If it goes to zero, then I let it sit there. I go to zero. Right?
If it goes to zero, there's nothing left. Idea, yeah. I mean, we're shooting rabbits for food, and
yeah,
Cosimo's my chef. Thank God.
So, can you do? How do you do with rabbits? I bet you can do amazing things with a rabbit.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, hold on a second, Ron. I've seen you at a blackjack table. It's like me at a blackjack table and Ron. You know what I mean? Like I've seen it go from a lot to zero pretty quick.
Yeah, well, that can go to zero.
All right, listen. Thank you so much. Thank you for everything. Thank you for everything that you do for our members. I just got like a random call the other day from, I didn't even know where it was. It was someplace really far away. And it was a business manager called and said, I just want to let you know that one of my members called me and said, thank you for the program because I talked to Megan Financial and they made me feel comfortable about blank. And, you know, we appreciate that.
That's what we do.
But that kind of goodwill and that kind of benefit, to have some place to call and go, like, look, I'm not paying you. Like, you don't have my portfolio, but I need some advice. And you give that advice. It's a good feeling for us. Yep. So we really appreciate it.
Hey, Ron, as a member of the NCL, I just want to say that with someone like Ken at the helm, it's good to have great people working to do the programming.
I see what you're saying. So it's like a left-handed compliment. It's like you're at the helm, but you're a dummy, so you need to surround yourself with smart people, right? Which is why I hired Ed.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Ken.
There you go. See? You're looking at the future, Bob. If you look right behind me, you'll see the future right here. Thank you so much, Schmuck. All right, listen, we got to go. Thank you guys so much.
Thanks, guys.
Cosimo, keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
Even though you're wearing a Sox hat.
Whoa.
Yeah, I don't care. What do I care?
What are you, a Mets fan?
I am a Mets fan. Yeah, hell yeah, I'm a Mets fan. All right, listen, we got to go. We're going to go, and then we're going to come back. We'll close it out right here on the Workers' Mic, 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
What this a great show.
Yeah, it was super, super fun.
Big thank you to Cafe Bionda for having us back again. And
I really,
to everybody
I really
who came out.
Yeah, I really enjoy being here. It's super, really, really fun.
All of
fun.
Our guests.
It's nice outside, nice restaurant, good food, good beer. Thank
good
you
times.
So much to ABOC. You guys really, you killed it for us, and we really appreciate everything that you guys do for us, for labor, the labor community.
And for all the listeners, guests. We have a couple of segments that that didn't air because we interviewed so many folks. So we'll have a couple of segments coming up in the next few weeks. So you know,
it's unique. You know, I gotta tell you, it's a unique show for us.
It really is.
We had law enforcement.
Yep.
Right, which is different for us. I just think that's the coolest thing in the world. So
yeah,
it was really really fun, really enjoyable. And then we had like a real lawyer on.
I know.
Right?
How about it?
Like a real lawyer.
I didn't know what a real lawyer... I thought you were a real lawyer, Ken.
Yeah, well... yeah, not so much. And then what... the next... Is it next week or the week after that we are... actually having like a camera crew in from Built to Last.
Next week.
Is it next week?
Yeah.
So like this. So next Sunday we're gonna have a. It's gonna be a weird show. We're gonna be
filmed
on air. They're gonna film a TV show.
Right. Built to Last. Filmed of the radio Carpenters. Show. Carpenters.
So you should shower that day.
Me?
Yeah.
I shower every day.
Oh, do you?
Once a week if I need it or not.
But I mean, do we have to dress nice?
No.
Are you sure?
Why would we change up what we usually do?
So we could just come in as we are, and they're going to film us.
I'm going to have you show. Believe that, and then you'll be the one who shows up looking like a schlub.
like the fake costume party trick?
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. It's not bad. It's worth a shot.
All right. Are we good? We're good?
Tune in next week, and we will be back with you with more Workers' Mike.
The preceding episode of The Workers' Mike was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare. For additional information and podcasts of The Workers' Mike, visit WGNRadio.com.